this is your host, Larry Nelson, and we are back with John Stefanis of Cisco Systems on the W3W3 Talk Radio Show. And we're going to be discussing how to survive and thrive on the Internet. Hello, John.
Well, hello, Larry and Pat. How are you?
Oh, great. And how about you?
Just fantastic.
Yeah, it's the magnificence is weather, or the weather's magnificence, whatever. It's so nice, it's incredible.
See, John, last week on the Chronicles of a Net Ready Consultant, we discussed project management. This week we're going to be tackling, or maybe wrestling with, the notion of e-business transformation. Have you chosen a topic that only a few understand and even fewer execute a business transformation plan successfully?
Unfortunately, I think we have.
Okay, well, let's talk about the hockey game then. Well, all right, John, why don't we then, let's start out with the fundamentals. And so could you define business transformation, and how does it differ from change or change management?
Good question. Let's take change management first. And if you go back to probably the late 80s up to about the mid-90s, change management primarily dealt with, and again, these are my opinions and observations, dealt with business process reengineering, where you would change one process. It could be order entry or accounts payables or accounts receivable, but it was changing one process. And when you change the process, part of it was enabled by technology, but the other part was changing the information flow in that process. And the conventional wisdom at that time was you unfreeze the organization's culture, you make the change, and you refreeze it. And that was change management, and that wasn't easy even back then. What's happened in probably about the last 5 years, 3 to 5 years, we talk about business transformation. When you start dealing with Internet and web-based applications, you're totally transforming how you actually conduct business. And it's very, very difficult for most people to come to grips with that. And the difference is having a web presence as compared to using nothing but web-based applications, internal and external to your business. And to get people to transform that from their way of doing business to say, well, don't look it up, go to the web. But it's a major, major difference.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I remember back in those days that you were talking about in the 80s and the early 90s where, you know, change management was a big topic. And in a sense, it certainly is. There we used to talk a lot about out-of-the-box thinking. It almost sounds like here you're talking about transforming from maybe a caterpillar into a butterfly, where really there is a major transformation.
Oh, that's a very good analogy, Larry, because that's exactly what's happening. And what it means is that the major changes are that, number one, if you're going to become a web-based business model or use the Internet to conduct business internally and externally, right off the bat, that means that everybody in your organization has either got to be wired or have access to, you know, the Internet, intranets primarily if you're talking internally. And that's a major shift in how you, you know, basically build up your infrastructure. And it wasn't that way 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And it literally, one of the best comments I heard was, to transform an organization, to have people think from a technology, you know, using technology to think differently, what Ford did, they literally gave every employee a laptop.
Ah.
And, it's like, it's yours, it's X dollars a month, you know, nominal fee, like $5 a month. I mean, it's absolutely nominal. And the intent was to use this technology in the office as well as at your home and totally be connected 24/7. That's a transformation.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So why is it important, and how does an organization recognize when business transformation is necessary?
When they should recognize it's necessary is when, you know, primarily senior management says, you know, this thing called the Internet is, you know, my competitors are doing this, my suppliers are, you know, being wired and connected, and they're asking me to basically do the same thing, and I could do it from a technology perspective. Now, the notion is, how in the world do I get people to think differently in terms of your purchasing manager, for example, when I'm used to actually going face-to-face and beating down suppliers, and now I don't have, for the most part, access to them. I'm doing it electronically. Mm-hmm. Much different flavor. I'm looking for not only best price, but I'm looking at it globally. And that's a transformation.
With global competition.
Yes.
Jeez. You know, John, you know, I can see it can be difficult to get your arms around business transformation concept. The idea of making such a major move. It's more than a move. And like we said earlier, it's more than just out of the box. So here's a tough one. How, oh boy, I almost feel
guilty
by asking this question. How do you do it, and what are the steps an organization must take?
There, people have different philosophies, and I try them both ways. And one is top-down, where you get senior management engaged, and the other is bottom-up, where we've talked about this in the past, about choosing a rational experiment, an application that you want to try that doesn't really impact the business if it fails, but if it works, you could have a breakthrough strategy. And those are the type where you go bottom-up, where you pick a selected group of people within the organization, you say, let's try this out. And they're all willing to take a risk, and they all think out of the box, and they're ready to do that. Now, when that project works, it's absolutely phenomenal. Now, the key in that is, how do you get it to the next layer and layer, all the way up to the senior manager of the company? When you have a success, it's a lot easier. But the fact is, it takes a lot of time to do that. So if you have to pick one of the two ways, start with senior management and start with the CEO of the company. And it could be a small company, medium-sized, a large company, because if they get it, then they could drive it down. And another classic case is a client we're working with right now that, you know, we've been at this thing since August of last year. And the CEO and most of his senior management actually got the notion. And part of the process was, okay, if we're going to buy into this, then when we have our project reviews, during our budget for the year 2001, I want all of you to create one single template in terms of your business strategy and your internet strategy, and present those to me. And I'm going to ask you the question, what does the internet mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the process starts. And when we went through at the end of the day, between August and February, and the president asked the question, what does this mean to you? If the group vice president or senior executive said, well, it means this, and he's reading a script or he's talking about technology, it was actually stopped right there. He said, no, you're not telling me what it means to you. How are you going to change?
Mm.
Very, very difficult question.
Whoa.
And if you could get that buy-in, then the next major problem you have is, how do you translate down to 17 layers in the organization so that from the top to the bottom, they're now getting the message? That takes time.
Yeah. Okay, now I want to make sure that my top-bottom thing didn't fall through the cracks here. You are suggesting that the top management has got to buy into this, the top decision-makers.
Correct.
But then you get bottom-up involvement.
You have to, yes.
Okay, all right.
And it's interesting because there tend to be four types of people that you deal with in the organization. You know, if you look at any size organization, and you have those that get it from day one and are off and running, and they drive it throughout their functional area, division, group, team, whatever it is.
They're the rare ones.
They're good. Yeah, they're very rare. They're about 10% of the population.
Right.
Then you have a group that, you know, they get it, and they're out there, and they're evangelists. I mean, they're like stopping in the street corner and saying, have you looked at this application that's web-based? And they'll just beat you to death until you try it.
Yeah.
And those are good people to have in the organization.
You bet.
They spread the gospel, so to speak.
The champions, yeah.
They are true champions. That's another very effective way. Take them out of their job for about 2 quarters and have them go through the organization and just evangelize about the merits of using a web-based application or a web-based business model. Then you have the third group, which is what I call the converts. And they look at you kind of like, you know, one eye closed, saying, yeah, I've heard this story before.
Uh-huh.
And eventually something clicks and they say, my God, I understand it now. And they very quietly go about changing the way they do business. And the last group is one that you'll never hear about. They're called the silent resistors.
Ooh.
And they're the ones that, yeah, I got it. And they kind of chuckle on their way out the door and go back to business as usual. And you probably will never convert those.
Yeah.
Those are the ones
that... They can even be the saboteurs.
Yes, they are. Mm. Many, many times they are. And it's like, you know, either you make the choice to say either lead or leave. Either buy into the program or, by the way, you're going to have to get out of here.
You bet.
That's if you're lucky enough to recognize them, right?
Right.
So why does business transformation take so much time? You've told us in so many shows in the past that speed is so important. Is it really worth it?
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is really worth it at the end of the day. And why does it take so much time? It takes time because it's dependent upon the size of the organization. If you have 20 people in your organization, that's not a bad thing to do. You could probably do it, you know, in a quarter. As far as getting it up and down the organization. What really takes time, and this is where it's very critical, is when you have the traditional brick-and-mortar companies,
mm-hmm.
that they've been global, they've been in business 100 years, and I was talking to a colleague of mine yesterday, he's working at a company that's been in business for 113 years.
Wow.
Wow. And it's like, here's the way we've always done it.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah. And so it just, you know, it just takes time to get over, you know, how you've been doing for 113 years. Or if you have a company like Ford that has 390,000 employees, it is a massive undertaking to basically impact every single individual up and down the chain globally. And it just takes time. It probably will take a good 18 months to 2 years, if not longer.
Whoa, now, geez.
That's a long time.
Boy. Now, John, is it possible to shorten that business cycle, you know, by you know something like kissing a frog, or is there some other shortcut that we can take?
The only shortcut I've ever seen is to have a leader like Jack Welch that explicitly states, by the way, we're going to do this, and this is priority number 1, 2, 3, and 4, and at the end of this fiscal year, I want you to show, you know, at least a X percent reduction in cost by using the Internet. How you're going to do it is your problem, but I want all of you to do that, or else next year you won't be here. And that's how you achieve it.
But you really like this idea.
He's an exceptional individual. He has a lot of charisma, and he could force it through the organization. But he got 1,400 of his leaders in a room at one time, and that's the message he said. This is it. Convey this message downward. I don't care how you do it, but this is what we're going to be doing. And 12 months from now, I want to see an impact.
Wow. What are some of the common traps and pitfalls organizations should watch out for if they're considering a business transformation plan?
And John, you know, we're so privileged and feel so happy to have a guy like John Stefanis of Cisco Systems and author of NetReady on the show here. And John, when we ask questions like that of you, we know they're tough and we know that we just can't answer them in just a little thumbnail sketch, but if there's anybody who can tell us, you're the one.
Well, I appreciate the compliments, and I think there are probably people who are probably more qualified than myself, but I'll just take you through some real-world experiences that, you know, that's always the best part because it hurts.
that's right. That's why I know you got the scars.
Some of the common traps, and the most common trap is when you have senior management saying, yes, we went through, we did our planning process, everybody agrees, we're reading off the same, you know, page, we have the same vocabulary and lexicon in terms of how we define these terms of transformation and what's a rational experiment versus operational excellence versus all those good things. And when they make the presentation and the CEO says, hey, good job, they say, boy, I ticked that one off. I got part of my MBO done. And they walk away. And they don't worry about it for 6 months. You know? That's a common pitfall. It's one of those things that you've got to constantly, you know, just beat on these people and say, okay, what have you done? How are you doing it? Every 3 months, I want to report. Here are your MBOs. How did you do against that? Where are your metrics? How are you doing against your metrics? But the pitfall is that they normally say it's not just a one-time event, and they think of it that way. It is really an ongoing process. Some of the other traps that you fall into are not being able to pay enough attention as you go through the process, and you really have to get engaged almost on a daily basis with the people that you're dealing with. And that's difficult to do because everybody has a million things to do, but the fact is you still got to go through there. And every day you got to ask the questions, okay, what's happening today? What did you do? What did you learn? How did you use the technology differently? And the other part is just making sure that you place these evangelists in groups around the organization so that they could actually keep, you know, encouraging them and, you know, mentoring them along the way. And if some people don't make it, don't kill them. You know, give them a couple, three chances.
You slid in that little acronym, I think it was from a decade or two ago, MBO. Is that management by objectives?
That's correct. Sorry about that, Larry.
That's all right. Just checking you on that. And you did mention another one that doesn't seem to go out of style. You know, we've heard all this talk about let's go back to the fundamentals, let's go back to the basics and everything. But I very often think that those fundamentals and basics are based on measurable metrics that are followed up on. I mean, is that your take on it?
Yes, very much so. And I know that sounds very simplistic, but, you know, I can't tell you how many companies, and talking to the colleagues, you know, comparing notes, I am absolutely amazed at how many companies don't really put metrics in place, or if they do, they don't track them. It's like, okay, here are your objectives, and I'll see you in 3 months. And 3 months comes and goes, and it's like, oh, God, yeah, we forgot to do that.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, the point is you got to have metrics that are, number one, at least achievable. They could be stretch metrics or goals, but you've got to basically say, okay, here's what you said you were going to do. What have you done? And the way we do that, we call it the red, yellow, and green way of looking at it. And the green says, okay, you've hit your objective. I don't even want to talk about that because you made it. I mean, it's not even worth spending time. If it's yellow, it's saying, okay, I'm not meeting my objective, but I think I could do it in the next 2 months, and here are the reasons why I need more help over here, or this isn't working, but I'll get it done. And red says, I am in such a ditch, I can't see straight.
Mm.
And those are the things you focus on. And more than likely, people don't like to look at those, because it shows that you're not meeting your objectives.
Right.
So it's a very simplistic, very easy way, and it shortens the cycle time down for a review process. And all that, we're actually going through with one client to teach them that process. We're putting on a whole series of workshops and teaching them how to do ruthless execution. That is a major transformation for them because they never had to do that before.
Mm-hmm. John, you know, we have a real life experience that we're dealing with here on a much smaller level because we know you work with the industries, you know, not only automotive but also the energy field and so on. We have a group here called the Grassroots Initiative, which you've heard us talk about, and you certainly have given us some supportive comments. One of the challenges that we're having in going through our transformation with this young organization is that while we have three different task forces, three different focuses that we're working on. So now I'm going to ask you a coaching question here. We have the learning environment. That's where we take part in activities that help the digital divide transform into the digital dividend. Secondly, we have professional opportunities. And this acts, we try to act as an information source to help individuals and entrepreneurs achieve their full potential. And the third is quality of life, in that we're encouraging organizations of all types and sizes to attach quality life to the bottom line. Now, here's my question. We have these different teams that are working on these various issues. They've identified different things that they would like to work on, but one of the common problems, not in every instance, but one that comes up a great deal, is they'll come up with an idea that, and I want to say it's so grandioso, it's so big, that it really is not achievable for our team. Sometimes it's because there are other large organizations that might be working in that same interest. So what I'm trying to say is that how do you deal with a team of people who've got great ideas, and what they want to do is they need to distill them down into something that they can work on that will help them in this transformation?
Excellent question. And the way I have done it in the past and do it is today is, okay, now this is a very, very grandiose idea. What resource do you think it will take to get there? And I'll never forget one of the day when I was working many, many years ago with Sperry Univac, and they wanted to become number one. And that was a very good, you know, ambition to have. And I said, well, what would it take to really get there? And when you lay out all the resources, it would have cost us $40 billion. It was an impossibility. I mean, great goal, great vision, you know, everybody was behind it. But the fact is, you had to scale that back because it was an infinite amount of resources that no organization could actually, you know, put forth. In the situation you're speaking to, I would basically say, okay, what do you think is achievable in 3 months or in 6 months? And it's not that grandiose plan.
Okay.
And here it is. If you could do these three things in 3 months or 6 months, then that's a step forward. And set the metrics in that fashion. Because if it's too grandiose and it's going to take 3 years, it'll never get done, Larry.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Very good. That's what we're struggling with, you bet.
I think one of the side effects that you might have, which I find very fascinating, is that at what level do you have these three groups actually meeting a common vision or goal? And what came to my mind when you were speaking about that, I could have, you know, quality of life as a, you know, that team, and in terms of what they're trying to get done and their metrics, you could have a quality of life set of metrics that are opposed to having companies come in and set up business. And where do you tie it together to say, this is the level of quality of life I want, and how does that impact bringing companies in that do these types of things like manufacturing, even if it's, you know, light manufacturing. But, by the way, if the quality of life says, I don't want to build another power plant, and yet I want to have a fabrication plant, I need lots of power. Those two are in conflict. So what level do you set to say, okay, these objectives that you're trying to meet hopefully will coincide to a grander vision or a grander mission statement that these task force are going to be accomplishing.
Mm-hmm. That is very good advice. And that's exactly exactly some of the issues that we're dealing with. I'm going to pass along your advice.
So, John, in review, what are the upsides of business transformation as well as the potential downsides?
Yeah, we got about 15 seconds on that.
The upside is so fantastic that people absolutely can't realize what it is. And that's why we always understate what the benefits are going to be. The downside is that if you don't transform your business, even though it's anguish, you probably won't be in business.
Mm.
Ooh, now that's it. And it'd be just like our little organization, the Grassroots Initiative. If we don't do it, we're just going to kind of fade away.
That's it, Larry.
We're not going to, though. John, next week on the Chronicles of a Net Ready Consultant, let's discuss some the good news and the challenges of successfully working with remote teams. Sound good?
We have a lot of stories about that one, Larry.
Boy, is that a fact. I tell you what, if there's anybody who can share with us how to work successfully with those remote teams, it's John Stefanis. John, thank you for being in W3W3 Talk Radio. Talk to you next week.
Pat and Larry, have a great weekend.
Their mission is to make the average person's experience on the World Wide Web enjoyable, profitable, and safe. That's what ICRWeb.com is all about. ICRWeb is your connection for getting the best bang for your buck on the web. Most companies, large or small, need a project manager that will help coordinate the tasks needed to build and maintain your website. There are many pieces and a variety of prices for the things you need for your website. Whether you need a straightforward corporate site or a complex e-commerce site, ICRWeb can pull the talent together to accomplish your objectives. If you're a professional and experienced project manager, or just another set of ears and hands, visit www.icrweb.com to see how they can help you. ICRWeb has an a la carte menu for capabilities. They'll help you make your website stand out from the crowd, as well as making sure your site is functional and easy to use. That's ICRWeb.com.